When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. Although it's unlikely to be morning when you're listening to this, I suppose it could be morning. It depends when I release this. Anyway, good whatever current time of day it is to you. For me, it's morning. It's 9:15, and I am on my way out into the wilderness. Not actually the wilderness. Out of Plymouth to Huddersfield Town's training camp. Where hopefully I'm going to be meeting with Neil Warnock today, and we'll have a quick chat. Got a few things I want to talk about. You can probably imagine what they are. And all being well, I will have that interview for you now. And if that interview doesn't start now, then there's been a change of plans. We've got a friendly this evening as well. By the way, this is still me talking. This does not indicate the change of plans yet. Got friendly this evening against Tavistock. Be interesting to see what sort of lineup he goes with. Obviously, there are some players who got sort of different lengths of time the other night. I wonder if some of those who got 90 the other day might sit this one out. For instance, Yuta Nakayama and Danny Ward and Jonathan Hogg all sat out the game entirely as well. They weren't risked for the sake of a friendly game on a greasy, slippery pitch, which seems like the right call, to be fair, with Hoggy and Wardy. Obviously, they're both players who Town need to look after at this stage, and Uta's just coming back from injury. So, currently in the what I assume is called the Tamar Tunnel. It's the tunnel just after the Tamar Bridge. And I did read a little bit about how they made this tunnel. But I won't talk about it here because it's boring. They're not super imaginative with their place names around here. I've just been through a town called Hat. I saw a bus yesterday bound for... Sorry, I've got hiccups. I saw a bus yesterday bound for somewhere called Ham. I've just seen a sign for somewhere called Villerton, which, as far as I'm aware, just means town. And the next name on the list after Villerton was Pillerton. They're just not even trying.
Right, Neil, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
How's pre-season going so far?
Yeah, it's gone well. The lads have come back in good shape. We had a tough week last week, which I've always done that. I always give them a tough week, not seen many balls. And then three games down here this week, not about the results. We're training hard every day, even when we're playing. So it's not as if they're going to relax and play. It's we're just trying to get some minutes in everybody's locker at the same time training hard. We've got lovely facilities, as you can see here, Stephen. It's lovely, lovely position, isn't it, where we are, Dutchie, yeah. College. It's a great facility.
It is a tried and tested trip. You've done it with your previous clubs. What is it that you like about this?
I just like getting everybody together, really. Yeah. We haven't got the biggest squad. We haven't got the financial output that these top clubs have got, the lads coming down and coming up and what have you. So we've got to cater for that with the team spirit, really. And we did that last year. We played some good football at good times last year. I want us to be a little bit more on the front foot this year, if I'm honest. But that comes with, you know, that comes with confidence and getting the right players in. You know, we do need a couple of strikers to supplement the squad. Or forward players anyhow, which we'll be looking at. You know, we are a bit thin on the ground there, but it's just a great getaway. You know, the lads can gel not just on the training ground, but you know, around the hotel and the facilities where we're staying. It's lovely, so that you know that they meet up and it's just great for bonding, really.
Do you think it's useful and important for them to see the likes of Bodmin Town and Tavistock and clubs like that as well, sort of see how things are at sort of that non-league grassroots level?
Well, a lot of them come from there, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I said to to Ruffles, if I had to sign him, he'd probably been playing for Bodmin.
Cracking goal they got there, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Hell of a hit.
Yeah, it was.
You had a few youngsters on the trip. You mentioned the strikers there. You gave Kean and Tyrese and Carl Hudlin all the chance. What did you make of them?
Well, I know it's all right saying we've nothing else. They're up and coming. They've all played a part. They all look as though they've got something. Took the goals well as well, the two of them. All of them scored, didn't they? You know, the ones you mentioned. So it's just you've got to go along with what you have. Wardy's had a little problem, so we didn't involve him, and that just shows you how thin we are really. So that is an area we are looking at. But the young kids, somebody always comes through. You know, Brody Spence as well.
Yeah.
He was brought down. I remember at Leeds bringing Sam Byram down, and he's got a good career. And Nathaniel Klein at Palace, yeah. they were pre-season, you know.
You were right for right backs then.
Yeah, so Victor Moses and all, he chucked him in it pre. So it's good. There's some these young lads. Unless they get an opportunity, you know. I think the days are gone now where you're thinking about you can't take anybody 18, 19 because he's too young. Because they're good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at Bellingham and people like that, and I've never seen anything like him, you know, as good as ever I've seen.
Yeah.
And they're only your kids, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's if you're good enough, you're old enough.
It feels like for Brody in particular, there's an opportunity there because Ollie Turton will be out, presumably miss the first few months of the season, will he? And then,
yeah,
you played Matty there, Matty P there.
Tom's got an injury a little bit. The lads, we've left a few lads back up there that's having little niggles. Mm. So. You know, it's important that we get those right and straight in as soon as we can. The young lads have got to grasp the opportunity really.
And Pat Jones as well came on. It's good to see him. I know he's been a very highly regarded talent at the club for a long time. It's just the fitness for him, isn't it? So it must have been good to see him get on and show you what he can do.
Yeah, I mean he's always. It's not. I don't think it's psychological, but it's getting over that. You know, the injuries that he has, and I think he's just got to get his mind right as well. As at times, it's hard when you've had a few injuries like that because he's such an explosive lad. And Uta's come down with us as well, and he's been involved in training, not in the games, but in all the contacts. We're trying to get him a little bit. I think his mind of a matter now as well.
Yeah,
really. So hopefully the week will help us.
He can play a couple of positions. Where do you see him maybe fitting in, centre back, left back?
I don't really know because I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Yes, he can watch a video, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So, I get my. That's why I was so keen to make sure I signed Ruffles back, because Josh gives me not just the left side, all down the left side, but the centre half as well. He's played for me there and played well for me there. So,
You've mentioned a couple of the substances. How is Tom Lee's doing? Is he likely to be out for a while? Or
no, he should be all right. There's a certain machine up there that takes his weight. I can't
tell.
Yeah, and that's otherwise I would have brought him down here. But that's the one he needs for this week. So the scans are good. The scans show that there were no other damage when he felt it again. So it's just a matter of getting the confidence and building it up. Really,
calf, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's a few others, sort of senior players up there. Jordan Rhodes, obviously, Conor Mahoney. Is that wanting to look at younger lads instead?
Not really, no. I mean, Jordan was he had a little bit of a problem as well, so we thought let's get that problem out of the way. And same with Conor. There's one or two things happening with Conor. He's desperate to go and play somewhere else as well if he can get some game time. So. We thought, well, if he's that keen to get away, I'd rather have lads down here that really want to show me what they can do, really. That's why I brought the young lads instead.
And Dwayne Holmes has departed the club. What do you make of his exit?
Well, he's been thwarted back with injuries, hasn't he? But he's back, he's fully fit now. And the opportunity came and, he's got a couple of years with a possible third year as well. And he's only half an hour from where he lives. So I thought I'd be, help him out by that, and obviously they frees up the salary as well to try and help me with my strikers.
Is that the main area you're looking at, striker then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean there may be opportunities down the line to increase the quality of the squad elsewhere, but at the moment that's what I'm concentrating on.
I guess that's it, isn't it? If you've got, I know Jordan didn't play much for you last season, but looking past him, you've got Danny Ward, and then you've got a load of youngsters, haven't you? Is it just someone with a bit more experience, a bit more quality?
Yeah, I mean, if like I say, if you're good enough, I've not put an age on it.
Yeah.
But we have got to get, we have got to get at least one alternative for Danny that's played before. The young lads, you don't know what's going to happen with the young lad. They're hot and cold. They play well for a few weeks and then off. So you've got to just be patient with them, and that's what we're going to be.
I know you said when you thought you were leaving that Kean was probably going to have a big season this year, Kean Harrott. Is that something you're sort of willing to back up yourself, give him a chance this season?
Yeah, I think with certain tactics, I think Kean's better with a two-up
up front, definitely.
Where he can use his energy and close people down. I think there's one or two players like that, the two-up, but I don't want to play five at the back every week.
Yeah.
So I think we've got to be a bit versatile and you play 4-3-3, 4-4-2, whatever it is. The second striker has to help out at times by dropping a little bit. So, we're trying to teach what Kean to do that role as well.
We've had Mark Cartwright has arrived at the club as well. What's his role? What's your working relationship
I think he's coming down tonight to the game at Tavistock. I think it's helped him really that I've stayed on, because he hasn't got to come into the club and then all of a sudden find the X amount of players. Mm. So he's managing to. I think he's got to. Get his feet under the table and look at what needs doing on the football side, and I'm sure he'll be picking my brains and he'll be helping me as much as he can.
Are you feeling confident for the season that's coming? I know it's a tough start, that first few run of games, but they're all tough, I suppose you'll say.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I said I could probably get the sack by September, couldn't I, really, if we don't. It's a difficult start, but listen, I look at the teams we're playing against and I think it'll be difficult for them as well.
Yeah.
Playing against us, I don't worry too much about other teams. I'm more concerned with looking at what we're good at and how we can improve that.
I suppose that's the touchstone for the season, isn't it? Something they didn't do enough before you arrived last year was make themselves difficult to beat. I suppose that's job one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is in the Championship. If you concede goals in the Championship, you haven't got much chance of progressing. And it's going to be a highly competitive league this year, isn't it? You've only got to look at the teams, but I think it's one we can look on and be excited with, really.
Fantastic. That's all from me.
Cheers.
So the players are on a bit of a lighter day today with there being a friendly this evening. So they've done some of their exercises, a bit of passing the ball about, piggy in the middle type stuff. And now they're having a bit of a... I'm not sure how many aside it is. 9-aside, something like that. Teams were picked by Matty Pearson and Michal Helic. Matty Pearson and Michal Helic. No one can Ronnie Jepson watching from the sidelines, occasionally giving instructions. So, for instance, Warnock's just shouted stop play to tell Lee Nichols if Tyree Simpson's got a run on, then pick him out, don't just go for the easy pass. But otherwise, they're letting him get on with it. Just a little odd word here and there for the players. Danny Ward is off training on his own. He's got a bit of a niggle, as Neil Warnock, I think, told us earlier. Nothing too serious though. He is still training, just off away from the rest of the group. Just doing a bit of crossing and shooting here. Josh Groshot just got stuck in the training dummy, which is fun. Doing a bit of crossing and shooting, so we've got wingers and fullbacks out wide. We've got the strikers at Jack Radoni coming into the middle. And Nick Blockovich and Lee Nichols are taking it in turns in goal. And as you can hear, Ronnie Jepson giving some instructions, telling the players, don't just run straight onto it. Realistically, you'd have to get around a centre back, so let's have a bit of realism. Top Bins and Josh Kerama there.
There we go, that's training done. some fans came to have a watch as well. There was a kid running around getting all the balls that went behind the goal. Very amusing seeing that little lad try to pick up 3 footballs all at once. Funnily enough, it didn't quite work. Just waiting for Warnock and Brookie to get out of the way and then I can drive out of here. All right, I've come to leave at exactly the wrong time. The lads are all getting on the team bus now. There we go. Cheers, Brookie. So yes, I'm heading back to do some work this afternoon. Right up that conversation I had with Neil Warnock that you've just heard already, and then I'll be back out this evening for that friendly game. So I got the news just as I arrived at training that Dwayne Holmes had completed his move to Preston North End. You've heard me talk to Neil Warnock about that, and as I said to him, I think it's a bit of a shame that because of those injuries that Dwayne didn't get more of a chance to play under Neil Warnock. But I think if you've heard the finance episode that I did yesterday, you'll know my thoughts on that. I think the town did need to free up some of the wage budget. Players like Dwayne Holmes, who weren't necessarily going to be starters but who were earning starter money, those are the ones that you're looking at getting out. So it's a shame to see Dwayne go. I always quite liked him as a player, but best of luck to him at Preston North End. There's also been rumours this morning that Etienne Kamara is set to move to Udinese. He is one of the handful of players Town have who you might expect to command a transfer fee if someone were to come in for him this summer, a significant transfer fee potentially, even if it was more future add-ons than the current fee. But that might be one to keep an eye on. He is in the last year of his contract. There were reports earlier this year that he wasn't particularly willing to commit his long-term future to Huddersfield. That extra year that he's got as well, this final year that he's now in, was triggered by an appearance bonus, clause that he hit last season. But we know that he wasn't particularly in Neil Warnock's plans last season, so might be one to keep an eye on.
Just the one change to the Huddersfield Town starting lineup this evening then. Carl Hudlin has come in for Tari Simpson. I'm sorry I did a big Dara O'Brien there like it was a punchline that Carl Hudlin was started. That's absolutely not what I think. So 4-3-3 again for Town then. Lee Nichols starting in goal. Right back Brody Spence, Matty Pearson and Michal Helic are your centre backs. Left back is Josh Ruffles. Midfield 3, David Kasumu and Cherrydoni will go box to box. And screening the back 4 will be Romani Edens. Green, right wing, Sorba Thomas. Left wing, Josh Caroma. And up top, the UK's tallest footballer, Carl Hudlin. The bench, Nicholas Bilokovic, Loic Aina, Jim Headley, Ben Jackson, Josh Osterfield, Pat Jones, Keane Harrott and Tyrese Simpson. Sorry, I was just trying to get them in positional order there, but they're written in numerical order. It's messed with my head. Anyway, Tavistock are a few leagues up from Bodmin the other night, so don't be too surprised if there's a bit more of a competitive game than the 9-0 we got the other day. But obviously, if Town are at all, that's it. You'd expect them to win this one. There's a few players I'm interested to keep an eye on. As I say, it was interesting to see. I think Pat Jones and Keane Harrott made a particularly good impression the other day. I think I'm interested to see if Brody Spencer can be a bit more involved. Through no fault of his own the other day, obviously it wasn't really a game for right backs in a 9-0, but it'd be nice to see him brought into play a little bit more in attack, see what he can do. Carl Hudlin obviously getting a chance to make an impression from start as well. And of course Josh Osterfield, a player that we've not really talked about, has been brought along, the central midfielder who's been on loan at Harrogate last season, of course. No one had taken a look at him. So, yeah, a few to keep an eye on. And I think that's sort of the angle for these trips, isn't it? It's seeing what some of the players we know a bit less about, seeing what they can do. Goalless at the break then, the Tavistock goalkeeper. To be fair, I'm in a bit of a blinder. There's been a few times that he's had to come off his line and sweep up and has done so well. He's made a couple of good saves, most notably from Josh Caromo, who probably went closest, forcing the Tavistock keeper into a good low save. Romani Edmonds-Green also went close. There's been other opportunities, but so far nobody has broken the deadlock yet. Worth saying, obviously, it's not a... it's not the worst pitch, but it is rather long and slow. Hence, Town knocking at long ball a lot, particularly Matty Pearson keeps looking for those big diagonals out to Sober Thomas. Not sure if that's something he's just decided or if it's something he's been instructed to try, but we'll see if they can do something at second half. We go full time then, and it's Tavistock 0 Huddersfield Town 0. Again, their keeper absolutely superb. There was quite a bit of wasteful finishing from Down as well, in fairness. Sorry, Simpson wasted a couple of very presentable chances in the second half. Ben Jackson blazed one over late on as well. Some more good saves as well, particularly one to deny Jack Radoni, but again, more stress result. Basically meaningless in these games, and you'd like to think that with the pressure on, Town would take those chances a little less casually than they tried to on this occasion. There we go, 0-0 for the second pre-season friendly.
Mahal, that was a really good run out against a really good Tavistock team tonight.
Yeah, credit to the lads, they did a good job. Obviously the pre-season is not about the result, but I'm a bit disappointed about that result, of course. But it's all about to have a 90 minutes in the tank. I think it's good for us, but still I think we should win that game.
It's your first 90 minutes of pre-season. How are you feeling physically after that?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. We had a session as well in the morning, but I feel really good on the pitch. So I think it's all about that in the pre-season. But as I said, we expect more from the results.
As you said, there's a session in the morning as well, so it's not like a normal league game. We won't be training before one of those. Are you guys feeling a bit fitter? Are you feeling a bit pushed down here? Is the camp helping you guys get together and feel a bit fitter towards the start of the season?
Yeah, I guess we are getting there. We are working good. We have some team building as well, so it's going in a good direction. We are going in a good way. But I think we need to give credit to the lads from the opponent team. They were here today fighting for each other, and that shows how the football is. If the team is working together well, you could defend against any opponent.
For you as well, it was the first couple of times for you since joining the club last summer that you wore the captain's armband in the last friendly and this one. How is that for you?
Yeah, it's a big honour for me, and I'm glad that I can have that armband on my arm. And obviously Hoggy was not here, that's why probably I was the captain. Not probably, but for sure. But. Yeah, it's a big honour for me, and I'm really proud of that.
How is the group feeling towards the start of the season? Because obviously there's a lot of younger boys joining the group, there's a few boys coming back from London and everything. Are you feeling together? Are you feeling well?
Yeah, I think that camp is helping. That, as I said, a bit of team building, a bit of being together in one place, not at the training ground, just in the hotel, walking around together and spending some time. So I think it's a really good camp for us, and I hope we'll get profit from that.
It's the first chance we've had chance to speak to you this season, if we're calling it this season already. You've made a swap from number 35 to number 5. Does that show your growing role and position within the squad after your first season?
I've heard that, but to be fair, I was not really bothered about the numbers. But I spoke to the gaffer, I spoke to the kitman, and they said that's a honor to wear number 5. So yeah, they told I've deserved that. So I'm really, really happy to hear that, and I will be doing my best to be a good player with that number on my shirt.
You certainly did earn it after being Player of the Year last season as well. We've still got another 3 days of this camp. We're training every single day. There's no off days. There's another game to come. By the time that we set back on the bus home on Saturday evening, we'll have had so many miles in this legs compared to where we were at the start.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's all about physicality. It's all about having minutes. It's as well. We are playing, I think, three games in 6 days. So it's all about getting minutes. It's all about feeling on the pitch together, spending some minutes on the pitch together. And I think, as I said, we'll get the profit from that.
Mal, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, if I could just have a quick one, please. You obviously missed pre-season last year, both because of your injury and because you weren't at the club. What sort of difference does it make having a pre-season versus not having a pre-season as a player?
I think it's a big difference because you have that feeling of on the pitch when you feel the distances. You have obviously power in your legs. You can feel that. You have the power in your tank to go for all 90 minutes. Last season I stepped after the injury, after the preseason, so it was not a great time for me during the preseason, but I think I did it well. Because of the injury side, I didn't have any injuries after that, so I'm pretty happy about that. The medical staff did a great job as well for that. That I need to say thank you for them, because it was not an easy moment to jump out straight without the preseason to playing game by game.
And as Roger alluded to, you've got some younger players in the squad, and a few like Josh Osterfield, who maybe, you know, who was away from the club last year. How have they integrated?
Yeah, they are doing really well. They are part of the group now, so I feel they are feeling good as well in here. I think we've got a good connection, good relationships between each other. Doesn't matter if it's Hoggy or Josh or anyone else who came now for that preseason, and I think that's helping me as well, because last time I came, I came after that, and now I'm with the team all the time, so it's helping me making the relations as well with the new players.
I was at training this morning. I could see even just that game you played between the two sides within the camp, very competitive. Is that something you want? Get that competition in the squad?
Yes, it is, and I think it's good to play against other teams than playing between each other on the training, because it's a different feeling. You have the referees, and you're feeling that. That game, you have a proper warm-up before the game, the fans are coming, and as well credit to them, because there was, I think, a few hundred today of Huddersfield fans, which is a bit surprising for me because it's far, far away from Huddersfield, but it's as I said, credit to them to coming that way, and that shows how big is this club, and I'm glad I'm here.
That's Wednesday in the book then. Once again, must stress, taking nothing meaningful from that result, just as we didn't from the 9-0 they got the other day. That game was 48 hours after they'd last played, and they also played a 9v9 game for about half an hour, 45 minutes this morning, let's not forget. So yeah, Mark Cartwright was there this evening, worth mentioning. The new sporting director has come down to have a look at things this week. He arrived today. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, might be able to get a word with him soon, hopefully this week. We'll see how it goes. I'm not sure what sort of podcast we'll have tomorrow, if I have one at all. Obviously that conversation I had with Neil Warnock earlier, we'll make a few news lines tomorrow for those silly people who don't listen to this wonderful podcast. So I've got plenty to go at tomorrow. The players, I think, will be on a bit of a rest day, a bit of a recovery day, particularly those who played 90 minutes or close to it today. So it might be a quiet day on the training pitch. We'll see what the day brings, and whether that will bring another podcast. Either way, I'll speak to you soon. I must say, Tavistock having a Morrison's, a Tesco and a Lidl all across the road from each other
seems excessive. I'm aware that there's bigger problems facing this country at the moment, right? But, and apologies to DTS who has heard this screed from me already, and I know we'll listen to this, but particularly Hammers Home in Plymouth, which was largely bombed during the war and then extensively rebuilt afterwards, obviously, as in elsewhere in Britain, brutalist architecture reigned supreme in the 1950s and into the 60s, and a lot of Plymouth has been rebuilt in that style, and it's really notable, I think, particularly at seaside towns, that brutalist architecture needs to be looked after properly. If you look at like pictures of brutalist architecture when it's first built, it looks so clean and impressive, and really cool and imposing, like proper like light grey or even white, and it looks really cool. But if you don't look after it properly and you let it get, you know, mucky and grey and miserable, it is the ugliest thing, the ugliest architecture you can possibly get, and it's just a shame that there isn't a general level of upkeep that gives this style that could be quite impressive such a bad name, and it's a shame for Plymouth as well, but hey, there we go, that's who to be an architect.